This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. Isn't it bullshit to have to question where your food comes from? At Vital Farms, you can trace your pasture-raised eggs all the way back to the source, the pasture. On the side of each pasture-raised carton of eggs, you'll find the name of the farm where your eggs were laid. And when you look the farm up on their website, you'll get a peek at all the sunshine, fresh air, and open space the hens enjoy. Learn more and find out where to buy them at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free.
With Capella University's FlexPath format, you can set your own deadlines, learn at your pace, and access most coursework from anywhere at any time. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Marriage Therapy Radio. I'm Zach. I'm here with Laura. Today, we're really just going to tackle some of your questions. We've gotten quite a few over the last couple of weeks that we've not really gotten to as we all tried to make an adjustment to this sort of new way of living and life. If you've sent in a question, today's your day. And maybe if you didn't send in a question, you'll hear something that resonates for you. It's a cool conversation. Stick around. We're recording.
I'm in the closet because it was requested by Jason, our producer. And he said, Laura, can you please go into the closet? And I oblige. I'm here hanging out.
Jason is making a name for himself. He showed up in our last episode, and he also this morning, he sent me a dad joke. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, I do.
He said, did you hear that apple pie in the Cayman Islands is $6 a slice and that cherry pie in the Bahamas is $7.50 a slice? And these are the modern pie rates of the Caribbean.
Pie rates
of the Caribbean.
All right. I didn't even give you a courtesy laugh.
I know. I didn't even give him one either, but I think we've told that joke before.
No, I don't think so. Holden did the pirate joke.
Yeah.
What's a pirate's favorite letter? Hey, so I'm scrolling through Facebook. It's kind of fun because I think that it's easy to see, you know, a lot of depressing stuff, but there's some interesting things that are happening on social media. And this one I thought was kind of fun. It said, list 10 unpopular opinions. Or list 10 things that you don't like that goes against popular opinion. So I'm going to give you really quickly things that I don't like that most people like. Are you ready?
Okay.
Movies in movie theaters. I don't like to go. In fact, I have gone out of my way on family events where most people would go to like a movie theater on like New Year's Eve or Christmas or whatever. And I'm the one person that's like, all right, I'll catch you later.
I'm very selective about the movies I go to, and I like to go by myself, and I like to go to those movie theaters that have like the restaurant, like you can order your dinner and a drink or something.
I'll do that. I get excited. It's the whole thing behind it is that I don't like to multitask or that I don't get to multitask.
Oh,
like
wow.
I can't pull my phone out. I can't wash the dishes. I can't do other things. Hmm. Okay. We don't need to debate about all of these, but I'm just going to go through them. Are you ready?
So I just listen to what you think.
Yes. I mean, you can interject. I just didn't want to take too long. Okay.
Gotcha.
This one's going to make you die. Are you ready?
Yes.
The Neverending Story and Goonies.
Huh.
Are you dying?
No, I get it. I think it takes a really special person to love the Neverending Story. Like you have to have a really, really strong imagination. Goonies is a little bit different. I mean, you're probably a little too young to like fully appreciate how impressive Goonies is.
Well, that's exactly it. Like I watched both of those as a small child, and there was something about both of them that scared me. Like whoever that big guy was in Goonies that had kind of a messed up face.
Yeah.
It scared me. So I never watched it again. And then in the Neverending Story, I think we've talked about this, the dog thing.
The dog dragon horse thing.
The dog dragon scared me. Okay. Peeps. That's obvious.
Yeah.
marshmallow treat.
There's a great meme about Peeps, which is like how to eat a box of Peeps. And you like open the box of Peeps, dump them in the trash can.
That's exactly it. Shih Tzu dogs. I just genuinely think that they're like a Barbie dog for adults to put bows on. So Shih Tzus, I think, are worthless animals. Hot tubs, Ugg boots. Here's one. Most of you, I think I'm going to lose all of our female listeners. Queen Bee, Beyonce. I don't get it. I don't understand the hype. I don't get it. Not at all.
Okay. Here's the thing that's on my list right now.
Okay.
I was thoroughly bored by Tiger King.
Oh.
I found it extremely boring and just like, waste of my brain.
Yeah. I mean, I understand it was a waste of your brain, but I think it's also coming at a really appropriate time with coronavirus and needing to take, like, we all need something to take our minds off of it.
By the way, did you guys do anything cool for April Fool's Day?
No, although I got duped. I was duped by the thing that came through. Did you see this where it basically was showing up on social? That's how I get all my news, apparently, social media. Mm-hmm. And it said kids that have been out of school are needing to repeat the same grade.
Yeah.
Duped me, got me. And I mean, I honestly like started looking for articles and stuff like that because I had just scrolled past it and went, no way. what a big deal for my kid to have to repeat preschool.
Yeah.
It did set up an interesting conversation with my husband and I in the hot tub, which I think I mention hot tubs?
You said you didn't like them.
Yeah. So I can only do 10 minutes in a hot tub. My husband is like an hour long soaker. And I know a lot of other people, it'll spend like hours in the hot tub. I'll do 10 minutes and then I'm like, see you later. But, boats and babies, both of those, I'm like, nah, I'm good without.
Huh.
Yeah. So that's my list of things I don't like.
Right on.
Okay.
That sounds cool. Thanks for telling me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what'd be really interesting is if you're a listener and you want to take the time out to like actually send this to us, I would love to know what other absurd, like I would like for you to pick a fight with me. Cause I think I just picked a fight with all of you saying Beyonce. And here's the other one, Michael Jackson.
It's in vogue not to like Michael Jackson right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I understand that part. I used to cringe whenever my gym would play it and it was like young Michael Jackson, which was even more triggering for me. And anyway, so send me your hate list. And maybe if you have an interesting one, I'll talk about it on the air we went over our five minute limit.
Well, it's actually interesting. I'm going to go ahead and make this transition for you because what you've just said is, hey guys, send us your stuff and let's see if we can pick a fight. Yeah. But what we decided to do today was talk about the stuff that you've already sent us. we collect a lot of questions in the inbox, and from time to time, it's really important for us to make sure that we talk about what you want to hear about, because I think, all of a sudden I started talking to the people instead of to you. So excuse me, people, while I go back to talking to Laura. We always talk about what we think people want to learn about, but now it's actually time to talk about what they want to hear about.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get to it. We have a whole list and we'll see how many we can get through, but these are our listener questions.
Right on. So I went through this list and I kind of, because this is what I do, I made a spreadsheet and I've got all kinds of stuff in here. And it's interesting to see that some themes bubble to the top, and it won't surprise you that one of them is around sex. And so we have two, maybe three questions, really asking kind of the same question. And it's this idea of how do you bring together, or how do you create a sex life when partners have a mismatched libido, or they have a different priorities when it comes to sex, or, how do you create, sexual intimacy, particularly without kind of starting a fight. Right. And then there's another, part of this question. Well, actually we'll get to the other part of this question in a second, but let's just start here, which is that people seem, there's enough curiosity around this idea of how do you get partners who are mismatched to find their way to healthy sexual intimacy. Ready, go.
So I love to talk about sex. I love that I'm given the opportunity to talk about it. And the reason why I said I love to talk about it is because I love for couples to talk about sex.
Yeah.
That I think the best way to a great sex life, even if you're mismatched when it comes to your desire, and it could be like the amount of desire or mismatched in the timing of your desire, is through conversation. And we talk about this all the time, that you should be talking about sex and talking about sex when you are not in your bedroom, talking about sex when you're not in the middle of, you know, communicating with your bodies, talking about sex, not after you just had a sexual encounter, but talking about sex over freaking dinner, talking about sex while you're going for a walk, talking about sex while you are driving home and you just want to have a little chit chat with your partner. One of the tools that I have really enjoyed to be able to open up dialogue about sex is through, there's this app, it's called, well, I don't know if it's an app, it's a website, it's called Mojo Upgrade. And it's kind of interesting in that what it does is it just asks you a series of sort of varying degrees of sexual acts that you would be interested in. And I like it because it goes from pretty vanilla, interesting stuff all the way up to things like having, you know, would you be interested in your partner shaving your, I call it your pelvic region, your genitals. And that's kind of like something I've never really thought about. And I like it because it does force you to think about some things that maybe haven't been in your genre, and you can indicate whether or not you're open to it, whether you're super down and excited to try it, or is a hard no. And you send the results to your partner, and it basically, it'll wait for your partner to also respond. And then it'll only send each of you the responses that you both said, yes, I'm down. I'm excited to try that, which can be a fun way to enter into trying some new things and opening up dialogue, because my guess is that it's going to give you the opportunity to talk about some things that you didn't realize both of you were interested in. And I think there's a lot of trepidation around the idea of having a conversation with your partner when you're super keen on doing something, trying something, and you know that your partner is not interested, and you become kind of gridlocked and you don't talk about other things. So I like that this app only gives you the yes, the hard yeses that you both agree on. And that's a really nice way to enter into conversation and trying some new things. So that's my thought. What says
Mojo,
you?
Mojo Upgrade, huh?
Mojo Upgrade. Yeah.
Right on.
We are not sponsored by them.
No. But I'm going to check it out myself.
Yeah.
I think you're exactly right. I think these conversations have to happen in coffee shops and cars, not in the bed, right? Because that's where it can become really loaded and sometimes really painful. The other thing is, I think there's a flaw in this question in this way, which is it's talking about, the question itself actually includes this word, like low desire. How can I bring up sex? Actually, that's wrong. But the idea that somehow it's mathematic, right? Like that there's a, that somebody is higher or lower, somebody is more courageous or less courageous. Like, I think that there's this need to think less in terms of like more or less, even like in terms of frequency or desire, and more about sort of like almost on a matrix. Like if it was a giant sphere, you know, where do you locate yourself inside the sphere of sort of full sexuality, and then how do you like try to versus like a graph, you know what I mean? Like, so, and then you kind of try to make your way toward one another. And whenever I talk about it with clients, I always end up saying something like, well, what counts? Like, because sexual intimacy, you know, one person might be thinking, well, what counts is intercourse and orgasm. Mm-hmm. And the other person might be thinking, well, what counts is pleasure and connection. And those two things can be different, and they can actually be mutually exclusive. You know, you can have pleasure and connection without intercourse or orgasm. And you can have intercourse and orgasm without pleasure and connection. And those things, you know, kind of what we think we want to do is figure out how do the two of us find our way towards sort of the most robust expression of our sexuality. And you know, there's some concern in one of these questions about, you know, we fix it for a couple of days and then we go right back to not thinking about it. And I think this is where, again, having a sort of a regular or an active conversation about this is really cool. And maybe something like Mojo Upgrade is can kickstart that.
So I have a thought about that, because I hear this about a lot of complaints that, you know, a lot of women in my practice will bring something up, in particular around household chores. And they'll say, I'm not getting enough support around household chores. And for a weekend, he'll be amazing. He'll do the dishes. He'll take out the garbage. And then it'll drop off. So I don't think it's just about sex. I think it's any sort of complaint that we have. And we're hoping, I don't want to nag. I want this to be a real change, a lasting change. And I really honestly think that we just need to be consistent. There's this new exercise that I've been doing with couples where I've been having them kind of create basically like an inventory, a nightly inventory that they do as a check-in. And the first three items are really all about yourself. Like, what did I do today to be able to show up as my best self? And for me, it might be things like getting 8 hours of sleep, making sure I took my vitamins, getting outside and getting exercise. When I do those things, I show up as an amazing human. But the next three or five items are all about how did I show up for my relationship? And you might want to add on something onto that list that's a daily reminder to hold yourself accountable, that this is a complaint that my partner had recently. And I want to make sure that every night I'm touching base with it and I'm keeping it as a forefront of my mind, that this is something that really has an impact on my partner and on their joy. And it might be things like, you know, my partner really wants to connect with me sexually. And if I'm not thinking about it, it's not going to happen. But if I put it on this inventory and I'm checking in with inventory on a nightly basis, then maybe, just maybe, I'm having an opportunity to, you know, kind of make it a long-term adjustment.
Just I'm into it. You're on a roll today, Laura. You're like crushing it.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. Here, so let me see if you can tackle this one, because another person who sent in this question asks a variation that I think we haven't quite considered, and it's this question, which is, let's say you do all the work. Let's say you get connected, you're doing the household chores, you're feeling kind of emotionally, you know, together. But then the specific question that we got through Facebook was, is it the case sometimes that there's a chemistry-based connection that's required for sex to work? Like, if you have great companionship, but you've never really had sexual chemistry, can that be recovered? Is there a chance that it's never going to work because you don't have sort of the natural, she calls it the natural energetic connection or sexual chemistry as a foundation? What do you think about that?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Now at Topgolf, you get half off golf Monday through Wednesday when you book in the app. It could be any Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. Like this Monday, next Tuesday, and the following Wednesday. Or maybe this Wednesday, next Tuesday, and the Monday after that. Basically, any Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday is a good day, as long as you spend it at Topgolf. It's golf. It's half off. It's half off golf. Monday through Wednesday when you book in the app for a limited time only. So download the Topgolf app, book a bay, and come play around. Restrictions and exclusions may apply. Visit topgolf.com/halfoffgolf for details.
I don't know. That's interesting. I don't think I've ever really thought about that, of having a natural connection. I sure as hell would try. I would try really, really hard. You know, like a lot of people By the way, like, why am I the only one answering these questions?
Because, like I said, you're crushing it today.
You're putting me on the spot. I was told, marry your best friend. I really was. And I think that the assumption that I had early on in life is that sexual motivation or drive naturally drops off after a few years. And so realistically, you're not going to want to marry the person that you feel that initial pull, like in your genital pull toward one another.
Yeah.
Like you see somebody in a bar and all you want to do is rip their clothes off. But then you have this other person that you have this amazing conversation with and you enjoy doing things with. I would much rather marry my best friend. But I think that my fear, I mean, I'm kind of honestly speaking from personal experience, was that I never would have that sexual connection. But is that as important? And like you said, experiencing the whole like range, the having like a relationship that's holistically healthy means also being able to express your love sexually and being able to express yourself sexually.
Right.
So are you asking the question of if that was never there, can you create it? Can you develop it?
Well, I think that's the question. For me, I like to reverse engineer things, as you know. And so,
yes.
So for me, part of this answer is this, right? There are people in the world, 100% chance I am not going to have sexual chemistry with. Like there just are. They're children or they're elderly or they live in a culture that I don't understand, or they might be a man. I just don't have that. I don't have a sort of sexual chemistry thing for men at all. So again, chemistry is part of it somewhere.
So that's interesting.
I don't know if it's, I don't know how to answer the question in the affirmative, but I do think that if you're in a committed relationship with someone and part of what you're trying to accomplish is a holistic sense of intimacy, then, I think I'm kind of in your court, which is I sure as hell would try, particularly if it's important to one or the other, you know, if it's more important to your, well, let's put it this way. I think it's as important for a less interested partner to learn how to become more sexually involved as it is for a less motivated partner to learn how to become more emotionally involved or more, you know, intellectually involved. You know, I think there's a whole piece of it that needs the work. But I think if I'm answering this question as a yes, no question, then I think, chemistry probably does have something to do with it.
Yeah, I do. I do. But I think the big part is if my partner was not interested in being with me sexually and had told themselves, I don't have it for you. It's not natural. I would want my partner to try. I guess I'm not necessarily as committed to the outcome as I am to the process.
Yeah.
And so to see that it was important to me and that my partner was trying would make me feel amazing. And sort of, you know, like if I said to my husband, hey, you know, it would really make me feel good if you cleaned more, you picked up after yourself, it makes me feel good. Even if he didn't do everything the way I wanted it done, watching him try because he knows it's important to me would make me feel good. So
cool.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears a little bit. There's a couple of these that are about how conflict can be played out. So for example, this question, when my husband and I fight, I often cry. He says critical things and usually says later, I didn't mean it, but I'm still hurt because there's truth in his words and I can't forget what he says. I say, stop being so mean. And he says, you need to get thicker skin and not be so easily offended. Then here's the kicker on this question that I love. Who is right? I'm like, well, to me, it sounds like both of them need to learn how to sort of come into their healthiest place, right? I don't quite know what to make of the crying, other than that when you're hurt, you cry. That's okay. Yep, that's allowed.
Well, I have something to say about that.
Also, we're hearing, I think, this argument from her point of view without his, but it definitely does sound like he's using what we would call bad strategies, right? Contempt and criticism. And those aren't helpful. In fact, they're quite toxic. And so if he is indeed sort of using contempt and criticism to try and make his point, or even trying to make his, even to connect with her, like sometimes we do this stuff because we just want to, maybe if sex isn't working, conflict is the only way to have intimacy. But, but I'm interested to hear what you think about the crying.
I had an interesting conversation today that came up around the idea of what do we do when our partner's in pain? And so what I'm hearing is that she cries, which means I'm in pain. And his response is, you need to develop thicker skin, which is pretty rejecting or dismissing. And I think that that's kind of the road that I go down, is this idea of when our partner's in pain, why is it that our partner dismisses our emotion? You know, like when you say anything, like I'm angry, I'm lonely, I'm tired, I'm hurt, I'm frustrated, and then your partner dismisses your emotion in the number of ways that we can do it. What does that actually mean? Does it mean that they don't love you? Absolutely not. I just find that oftentimes there's a lot of reasons why we end up dismissing. And one is that your emotion is uncomfortable to them and they don't know what to do with it. And it doesn't mean that they don't love you. But oftentimes emotion is hard for them to see. So I would get really curious and understand what it is about your emotions and how it makes your partner feel when you're experiencing those emotions. Tears, when women cry, it can make people very uncomfortable. Mm. Or ladies, when your husband is angry and raises his voice, and it might not be directed at you, he might be angry and frustrated, pissed off, grumpy, whatever it might be. And that might be a really uncomfortable place for you to be in. And so you might get angry because he's angry and say, it's not okay for you to be angry, but it is. It's okay for him to be angry and it's okay for you to cry. So that's kind of the way my brain started thinking about, is that partner was dismissing her tears.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, to kind of beat a drum, we often talk about the value of curiosity and how it's important to learn about sort of what is the source of your tears, or what's the trigger for your tears, or maybe in his case, what's the trigger for his criticism? Like, why does he say things he doesn't mean? Like, forget who she is. Like, forget who she is in the relationship. Where did he learn how to say things he didn't mean? You know, and so I'm going to piggyback on another question that we got from a listener, which is this idea of kind of who's right. Right was the kicker on that last question. But we have another question from someone who's like, what happens? What's the deal when we're really competitive? My husband and I are really competitive. Most of our conflict ends up slotting into some pretty consistent patterns where one of us has to win and one of us has to lose. And again, I would say part of it is getting back to this sort of value of curiosity. And in this case, Elle is her name. She says, my husband's super defensive. And so again, I think as a defensive person, I think learning how to get as curious as possible about where that comes from, what that's about. And frankly, if you're observing defensiveness in your partner, what role is it that you may be playing that is triggering that? It may not mean that you're attacking. It may just mean that you have a particular style of relating that when those two personalities bump up against one another, you have to tread especially lightly. And then the other piece of this, like this idea of competitiveness in a relationship for me is you ought to be competing 100%. You should be competing, but toward the same goal, right?
Yes. Mic drop.
And so if you find yourself competing against one another, automatically you're not aligned in your sort of intimacy mission, I guess. And so if you're going to be competing, at least figure out what it is that you're competing against that's outside the relationship or that's stressing out the relationship, because that's more important ultimately in the long run.
Yeah. And we talk a lot about this too, when it comes to just having like a problem to solve. And when your partner wins, that doesn't, the only way the relationship wins is if you also win. You'd never want to win at the expense of your partner losing something. So it's just a bad strategy, like you said. And being able to find, sometimes there is no solution. And that's the healthy way to do it, is that if there's not a win-win, then maybe it's a pause. Maybe it's let's think about this in a different way, or later, or whatever it might be. But I certainly don't want to win at the expense of you losing something that's important and valuable to you. I love competitive couples, by the way. I love spicy couples that have, that feel strongly about their position.
Yeah, as long as they maintain like respect and regard for one another. So let me add one more. Let me just piggyback on one more listener question here. This one actually is anonymous, and it sounds like maybe it should be, which is, do we think that marriage can come back from abuse, whether it's physical, emotional, or verbal? What is a situation where one partner brushes off verbal abuse as not being serious because they're angry and just don't mean it? And to me, like, this is a really delicate question, because abuse is about power. And whenever there's one person who is wielding power over another in a relationship, particularly in a violent way, it's very, very problematic to create trust and security. And I think it's one of these things where I think you have to really ask for what you need. And if you learn quickly enough that you're not going to be able to get it from your partner and it's dangerous, then it's appropriate, I think, to be searching for exit strategies. Because if the partner who is abusive isn't willing to address or change their own behavior, then I think it's near impossible to come back from trauma in a relationship. So,
yes.
So we sort of escalated, right? We're sort of talking about bad strategies in the first question. Then we're talking a little bit more about competitiveness in the second question. Neither of those things is abuse, right? So the third question is really, really about, is there room for safety and security in the relationship? And if there's not, then, you know, I would encourage you to begin investigating resources sooner than later.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like I have anything to add. That's absolutely. Yeah. Do we have time for any more? Do we have any more questions?
Well, I think we've actually kind of covered the main themes that have come in here. I feel like people are going to maybe listen to this and go, well, what about my question? And I hope that it was folded in, or go ahead and ask it again, because looking at my spreadsheet, it looks like we're all set. And then occasionally
I laugh because our personalities are so different in that you have a spreadsheet, and then I would probably have like sticky notes kind of spread out on my desk. And then there's so many other ways in our lives where I might seem like I'm a little more pulled together and spreadsheet like, and you're a little more like undone and fly by the seat of your pants. I mean, it's just very, our personalities are so different in that way. You just can't predict who's going to be the spreadsheet wielding person.
Well, well, that's true. I was telling somebody the other day, what's his name? Ed. I was talking to Ed the other day, and I was trying to describe the dynamic between us. And I said, yeah, we have this thing where we're like brother and sister, but we can't decide which one's older or more responsible.
Exactly. Yeah. That's basically it.
So
today you get the older, more responsible one. Nice. How about that?
Thanks. Yeah. But you also crushed it today. So congratulations. Yeah. You're like on fire. I think we're pretty well covered. I don't know if there's anything else that we ought to mention, right?
No. Can I tell you what I'm going to do? I wanted to tell you, I'm so excited. So, we received, this was so sweet. So yesterday I opened my front door and there are three cut out and painted paper hearts that are sort of stacked on top of each other. And there's a little note on the back from this little girl named Abby. And she said she's trying to spread joy around in such a hard time where people are isolated. And so what she wants is for us to hang the hearts on our door. And And then if we want to pass joy on, we should be then doing the same thing. So yesterday, my son and I had an arts and crafts project. We call it arts and craps in our house. My son calls it craps. And we made like 21 different hearts. And so now I'm going to hop off the podcast because we're going to go on our little electric bike. Thank you, Red Wagon. And we're going to go deliver them to some of his school buddies that are around us that we know where they live. And we're going to just put it on their doorsteps and spread a little bit of love, which I'm so excited. I just thought it was such a cute idea.
Right on. Cool. Yeah. There's no shortage of that. I mean, I think we ought to be really taking care of each other right now.
I agree.
Cool. Well, have fun with that. And I am going to go, I don't know what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go finish our chair. I think I'm going to paint it now.
Okay. All right. Send me pictures of your woodworking.
I will.
All right. Ta-ta.
Bye.
Hey, thanks everyone for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Just as a reminder, you can find us online at marriagetherapyradio.com. Thank you so much for all of your time and your attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.